Argument, Galladay versus Metro Water, Ms. Fender. Ms. Bender, you're up.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Patricia Bender, and I represent the appellant Pasha Hunt Galladay. The appellant filed an employment discrimination complaint alleging that she was discharged from her job as a fireman oiler and that she was removed from the eligibility list for a position as an iron worker based upon her race, in retaliation for filing a grievance complaining of Title VII violations and in violation of Americans with Disabilities Act. The appellant alleged that the discriminatory conduct occurred on June 27th and July 21st of 2002. The appellee filed a motion to dismiss under 12b-6, alleging that appellant was discharged and removed from the iron workers eligibility list because the Illinois Appellate Court entered an order on June 27, 2002, affirming the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District's Civil Service Board's August 1995 findings and decision to discharge the appellant. In August of 1995, the appellee's Civil Service Board found that plaintiff had incurred a mental condition that would render her unable to perform her duties because in 1993 she suffered a panic attack during a performance evaluation and was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. The appellee argued that it was merely enforcing the Illinois Appellate Court's order of June 27, 2002 in terminating plaintiff and removing her from the eligibility list for iron workers. It is the appellant's position that the district court erred in granting the appellee's 12B motion to dismiss based upon the Illinois Appellate Court's decision because the district court failed to take into consideration the fact that the appellee's Civil Service Board reinstated the plaintiff unconditionally.
Yes, but it reinstated her because because of the litigation, because of her claim. And once she lost, wouldn't that automatically, you know, lead to her termination? If you fire someone and then she challenges it and you win, well, you're going to fire her. Otherwise, looks terrible. Otherwise, invitation to litigation, right?
Well, for two reasons, I would say not so. That is, the Illinois Appellate Court reversed the circuit court's decision. Now, under the Illinois Administrative Review Act, the basis of review is whether or not the decision of the Civil Service Board was against the manifest weight of the evidence. That was what the appellee asked the Illinois Appellate Court to review. Now, under the Illinois Administrative Act, the circuit court would have no authority to reinstate the plaintiff, the appellant. That was something that the court had to remand to the Civil Service Board for it to enter a decision as to what it would do. Now, the Civil Service Board had an option of crafting out another decision of, like, maybe putting her on some kind of conditions or restrictions, or the Civil Service Board could have not reinstated her at all and gone and taken an interlocutory appeal and appealed that. In this case, the appellee never even attempted to file a stay of enforcement of that order. She was unconditionally reinstated, and the appellee never sought judicial review from that Civil Service Board's order reinstating her. So by that issue never being presented to the Illinois Appellate Court, the Illinois Appellate Court never ruled as to whether or not it should terminate the reinstatement order of the Civil Service Board. See, the Circuit Court had no authority to reinstate her. That was something that was
I don't understand you. Are you saying that the 2002 decision by the Illinois Appellate Court didn't authorize the defendant to fire her?
That's correct, Your Honor. That decision was moot. It did not say terminate the reinstatement.
No, I don't mean that the Illinois Appellate Court ordered the termination, but it upheld the position of the defendant.
Yes, it upheld.
So why wouldn't the defendant go ahead and do what it wanted to do in 1995?
Because of the intervening reinstatement. It's my position.
But that reinstatement was just pending the decision of the appellate court, wasn't
but
it?
But it was not. No, that was no order. There was no order to that effect, and the appellant was never advised that.
Well, are you saying this discharge violated an order?
Violated an order? No, I'm saying that the discharge in 2002, I'm not saying that it violated an order. I'm not attacking the Illinois Appellate Court's.
But why wasn't the defendant, the Water Reclamation District, why wasn't it just doing in 2002 what it wanted to do in 1995, but it had been prevented by the litigation? So when that cloud was cleared away, it did what it had wanted to do from the beginning.
Had the Civil Service Board not reinstated the plaintiff, I would say yes. But the district, they took no action to stay enforcement of her reinstatement.
Right. They were content to let the litigation run its course. But once it ran its course, and they were legally free to terminate her, then they did so because that had been their original decision back in 95.
Well, Your Honor, it's the appellant's position that intervening unconditional reinstatement basically put the appellant in a position where the Illinois Appellate Court would have had to terminate that reinstatement in order for the district to claim that it could now terminate her in 2002.
But you just said the termination wasn't in violation of any order.
No, the termination was not. Meaning, was it in violation of the Illinois Appellate Court's decision?
Well, did it violate the Civil Service Board?
To terminate
her in 2002, did it violate any government order?
Well, and that's it. Yes, it violated that order that was entered that was still existing by the Civil Service Board to reinstate her. That order still existed.
And let me ask you this, Ms. Bender. I'm having a hard time tracking this argument, but I think I understand what you're saying. But do you have any authority to support that? And like in your brief, this argument that you're making is not spelled out. Do you have any, cases where the kind of scenario you're outlining for us now is something that the court has ruled favorably?
Unfortunately, Your Honor, I did research. I could not come up with any law on point whatsoever. But I would suggest to this court that this is a unique situation in that if you go back to the original reason for discharging the plaintiff back in 1995, it was on the belief that she would not be able to perform her job. Well, when they reinstated her in 1999, that issue never came up. They never conditioned. There was no worry, no challenge whatsoever as to whether or not she had sufficiently recovered from her condition and was able to do her job at that time. And this went on for 3 years. No problem whatsoever. Now, this is not a situation where a person, an employee, is discharged for like poor job performance or misconduct. And I just think it would be fundamentally unfair to now punish an employee by terminating them after they have have rehabilitated himself and is cured of the disability or whatever that originally caused a discharge. As I said before, had she been discharged for a poor job performance or misconduct, I would say that the employer did have an interest in making sure that such an employee would not come back to their employer, but that was not the situation with this case.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bender.
Thank you.
Ms. Goldberg?
May it please the Court, Lisa Goldberg, Principal Assistant Attorney for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, Defendant Appellee. The District Court correctly dismissed this case essentially because plaintiff's EEOC charge was untimely filed. She was discharged in 1995. She filed the underlying EEOC charge December 20th, 2002. As the Court found, the 2002 decision of the Illinois Appellate Court merely put the 1995 discharge into effect.
What about her argument that in the interim her client had recovered, so the fact that they carried out their original intention in 2002 could have had some discriminatory motivation?
Even if the defendant had discriminatory motivation, it could not disregard the order of the Illinois Appellate Court and the order of its own civil service board, which that Illinois Appellate Court order upheld.
Well, I don't understand. The Illinois Appellate Court wasn't ordering you to fire her. What do they care?
Nor was it ignoring the...
So didn't you make a fresh decision? You'd won the case. You had a legal right to discharge her. And you'd have reasons just to maintain your, you know, credibility. You'd want to do that, but you weren't under a legal obligation to, and therefore didn't you have reconsidered and...
It's our position that we were under a legal obligation not to ignore
imposed by
the
whom?
Discharge by the Illinois legislature under our civil service system. The statutory provisions submitted to the court in our appendix make it clear that there are only certain ways in which an employee can be hired or fired. The Civil Service Board had ordered that her employment was terminated. This so-called intervening reinstatement, there's no question that that was only as a result of the reversal by the Circuit Court on administrative review. There's no allegation by plaintiff that that was a new hiring or some independent.
Oh, so you're saying act. That because she'd been terminated and the termination was upheld, she would have had to apply, you know, like a new employee, is that what you say?
Correct.
And she didn't do that?
No, there's no allegation that she did.
And there's no provision to allow reconsideration, like when this came down from the Illinois Appellate Court. There's no process that she can affect other than applying as a new employee. There's no, like, interim step to say, okay, now that we've got that back, time has passed, and therefore we should look at it again to see if the circumstances have changed.
No. There's no such procedure. Her due process was the administrative review procedure, which ran its full course, and we must abide by the decision upholding the discharge. I'd just like to point out that the removal from the eligible list argument is waived because it was not addressed in plaintiff's appellate brief. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Goldberg. Well, Ms. Bender, your time expired, but if you'd like a minute, do you have anything further you'd like to say?
I'd like to say that the legislative act that counsel referred to, I guess she's referring to the procedure of the Civil Service Board, but again, I would call the court's attention to the fact that there was a civil service board order reinstating her that was never vacated. So that still technically would be in effect. So there is nothing that prevents the Civil Service Board from not allowing the reinstatement to remain. The only thing that's preventing it is the district's attempt.
Well, didn't the reinstatement order lapse when the appellate court affirmed?
No, it never lapsed because
if it never lapsed, then why isn't the termination a violation of the reinstatement order? Which you don't argue.
Mm-hmm. I could argue, arguing that the termination is it violated the Civil Service Board order that was still in existence. Yes, there would be a violation of the Civil Service Board order that was in existence, which the district never sought judicial review of. So, yes, and.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bender. Thank you to both counsel, and the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.